Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
We are recording separately for the first time in a real long time.
Yeah.
Kayla officially moved to St. Louis, and so we're back on the long distance FaceTiming to record.
I moved to St. Louis. I'm really excited about my move, but it is a little bit sad to not be sitting right across your living room from you to record the podcast. We were spoiled for so long doing that, but it does feel nostalgic to be doing this again because this is how the podcast really started. We were moving to separate cities actually at that time. Bethany, you were the one that was going to be in St. Louis, and then you ended up doing travel OT after that. You were all over the country, and doing the podcast is like how we really stayed in touch. And so it feels good to kind of be back in our roots a little bit.
Yeah. This is just going back to how we were at the beginning. And then, I feel like it continues to be a way that we stay in touch with each other and talk every week because we do the podcast. And so, we already kind of made an agreement that like on non-podcast Sundays, instead of research, we'll just FaceTime and catch up and stuff like that. So grateful
for that. So I need to hear about your week.
Same.
Yeah. So I would just want to say before we get into it, bear with me with my sound because I have a new setup. I'm still getting it figured out. And so we'll see how it is over the next few episodes. Hopefully I can get it all, you know, situated where it sounds
I'm sure
good
it'll
for
be fine.
Guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, we kind of wanted to touch on a couple things here at the beginning. I first need to talk about Taeyang in Paris. He has just been blowing up all of social media. I feel like all of ARMY have been freaking out about him in Paris. He's been at these fashion shows. He was with Bogum. He's just been hamming it up. Like, he just has so much aura when he gets out of cars or when he's walking down the street.
Aura.
Like, I mean, his little smile smirk that is just nonchalant but cutesy, and I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just Taeyang. Fashion.
It's like
on
he's
point.
Trying to hide from the cameras, but not really.
You know? Like acting shy but not shy. Like very comfortable. Love it. Love all the content. He's still huge and massive, and his skin is glistening, and he's just
the tousled brown locks of hair too.
I know.
Like,
just being in Paris, like, it is his element.
It's
yeah, love
city.
Seeing him like go to restaurants and just living it up. Also, I officially watched K-pop Demon Hunters after all of the excitement around it. I've officially watched it. I was definitely slow to get on the train here of K-pop Demon Hunters, but I absolutely love it. I love the music. I for sure am listening to like the soundtrack on my runs and stuff like that. Like, it's just great music. Great story. Everything, like you said in the last episode, like, I agree 100%.
Like begging for a sequel so bad. Also, apparently all of BTS watched K-pop Demon Hunters too, because like Jimin and Jungkook just went live yesterday and they practically sang / watched the whole thing on live, like singing the songs. And I was just talking about how much of a like travesty it is that they won't make a cover of any of this music at all, just because it can't be the first thing that they do when they get back from the military. But I think that it's just like their little nod to be like, hey, we love it too, and we're gonna like get in this trend a little bit of like idols you know, singing these songs. Also, did you see J-Hope's TikTok from after Lollapalooza in Berlin?
I did. The soda pop.
Like shoulders. So cute.
Yeah, and like a bunch of the crew there with him too. So we're not getting like a full cover of them doing like Your Idol and stuff like that, but we are getting these little moments from them. Like J-Hope was singing Golden on a live too, and so they're for sure like in K-pop Demon Hunters, and they're I feel like they have too much influence that if they were to do something like that, it would just be like a straight promotion Like, I'm pretty sure that Netflix's account, like, changed their caption to say, like, Jungkook watched K-pop Demon Hunters, like, on their, like, profile. Yeah. Like, they just have a lot of influence. But, yeah, it's nice to see that they're also enjoying it and still, like, chiming in on all of the just trends that are going along with it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And, yeah, let's maybe just talk a little bit, too, about Hobiepalooza Part 2. Was he in Berlin?
In Berlin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How cool. It seemed like a great freaking show. And it also did. That man is getting way too comfortable being shirtless.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he had
that. The shirts are getting thinner and looser, like less material. Even the shirts are less material, but like completely open.
Literally, like a thin, like light yellow button down shirt that he just had completely open. He was fanning it even more open. Like, kill me. Just kill me.
You sent me a clip of at the show. He was like trying to get people to like clap along and stuff like that. And then he clapped his abs for everyone. Like, he hit his abs.
Insane for that.
Yeah. He is extremely comfortable being shirtless at this point. We're not comfortable.
No. But he drew a massive crowd at Lollapalooza in Berlin. I didn't see the numbers, but I mean, I would not be surprised if it were more than he drew at Lollapalooza in Chicago, because it was huge. I mean, the amount of people there was crazy. I saw a TikTok of people, like a guy filming people there, like as they were running by, and he would stick his microphone out. Who are you going to go see? And they were all like, J-Hope. They're like literally running across the, you know, the festival venue to go to J-Hope's, you know, spot. To go to his set. So anyways, I think it was a massive success, and I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, me too. That must have been so amazing for him, having done it in Europe now.
Yeah.
Just because it was such a success here in Chicago, like that was one of the best BTS concerts we've ever been to. And it was a festival, like one show from J-Hope, like not even like a full concert. It felt like a full concert.
Totally. And it,
was a full concert.
Like, it definitely was a full concert. Like he was crazy for that. I remember like he took very few breaks the whole time too. That man was working hard.
Yeah.
I'm sure it feels very full circle for him to go from like Hobiepalooza in Chicago right before he enlisted. And now he's been out for a while. Did his tour and now is like the massive closer for his whole, you know, Hope on the Street basically is revisiting Lollapalooza one more time. I think that's very cool. A little bit poetic. Cool. Oh, man.
But anyways, we are here to really talk about BTS's plans for spring 2026. So we're honestly going to be talking mostly just about their OT7 Weverse Live that they did, where they discussed a lot about their plans as a group and what that's going to look like down the road. So we're excited to get into that today.
Super excited to get into it.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
Got what? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS.
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, like I said, we're going to hang out for about an hour and we're going to be talking about the OT7 reunion Weverse Live. We're going to talk about their plans for 2026, album, tour, all of that.
Yeah. Before we get into it, we want to say thank you, Iconic, so much for being here and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us further, you could join our Patreon to get access to our episode documents, our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts. And we know we've been so bad about the Iconic Hangouts. Like, I think June went by and we just, I don't think we did one in June. We're so sorry. It was a crazy month with me preparing to move and
moving everything.
But we will do it again this month and we hope to see you there. But you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingBTS.
Yes. Thank you all for being here, for all of your support, and of course, for listening. So the OT7 reunion Weverse Live, they all went live together on July 1st. And this was... it's been 3 years since BTS have all gone live together, like all seven of them. And this was the live that we were all really anticipating post-military. We had talked a lot about how Weverse is going to crash. Like everyone is going to be going in to watch because it's so highly anticipated. And it did not disappoint, this Weverse live of all of them together. They asked about how to introduce themselves at the very beginning of it, which was really kind of funny. Like, it's just been so long that they were out of the groove of it. Like, how do we even get into it? And then Namjoon immediately was 2, 3. And then they just immediately went into, "Annyeonghaseyo, Bangtan-sungbaenna." You know, they did their greeting with the gun pose and they all kind of got a laugh out of it. Like, duh, obviously. Like, that's that's how they always introduce
obvious
themselves.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just cute to see them kind of figure it out and get back into it.
Yeah, it was super cute to see them figure it out and, just kind of come back to almost their conditioning of what they've always done and remember, oh yeah, this is what we do. Like, we're so silly for that. That was adorable. And also it just felt so good to see the OT7 introduction after all this time, you know?
Right. The finger gun, the bowing down. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the big laugh that they had was so cute. I just love seeing them here all together, cuddled up onto the screen, because I feel like even pre-military, it was rare that we got an OT7 live, you know? It might be one member going live or a couple members going live together, but it had to be a special occasion for them all to go live. Maybe they finished a concert or a tour, or they just released an
music
album
awards.
Or something. Yeah, music awards. But it was more rare, so it was definitely a treat here. We just want to talk kind of about what they talked about throughout and our thoughts on it. I love that Jimin said that he was happy to have the simple joys back in life. J-Hope was let's let the people talk who just got here, you know, and what have they been enjoying? And Jimin's honestly, being able to lay in my bed and go to sleep while being on my phone is so nice, you know. Felt like he was really real for that. And just to have those simple joys back, those little things, it makes me wonder too, in the military, they get phone time, but they have to go lock it up or put it away, or what they have to do with it at a certain time of day, you know? And so I'm glad that he's enjoying
it. I wonder
what
all the rules and regulations are. Mm-hmm. They definitely have some access to their phones, but clearly your screen time is limited.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do think that a big part of being on your phone, a lot of people are on their phones before they go to bed at night. I know it's not really good for you. They recommend that you don't do that.
Right.
But it is kind of something that most people do, and it generally can kind of help you start to drift off.
Yeah. For me, I always go to bed listening to something. I'll have a video on and I fall asleep watching it. And so, yeah, I know it's bad for you, but I've literally done it since childhood. When I had a TV in my room, I'd fall asleep with a TV on, you know? So I love that Jimin is enjoying his bed, enjoying his phone time, his freedom. I think that that's really neat. Another thing that we both loved and observed really early on in this live is that like, it really seems like no time has passed between them. You'd think that there'd be some awkwardness there, but really they're all meshing really well. Like the chit-chatting, the interacting, the leaning back on each other, like laying hands on each other while they're, you know, laughing about something or getting the other one's attention or whatever. We just love to hear them all laughing together. And later on in the live, they commented a little bit about how, like, they do feel awkward, like, being all seven there, because it's been so much time since they've, like, done that and sat on screen on a live to do it. But, like, they honestly did it super well. Like, it didn't seem like they lacked for conversation or anything.
No, they didn't. I didn't feel like there was any awkwardness throughout. And like you were saying, they just seemed like themselves too. Like, all of their mannerisms and just their interactions with each other, it really had seemed like no time had passed. And that they were all just, they're just the same people. Like, seeing Yoongi off to the side, you know, smiling and laughing at what everyone's saying, but really not saying a whole lot in response, but like chiming in when he felt like he needed to.
Right.
Namjoon being the leader and like really having like the more serious discussions, like the one who was actually delivering like informative information about their plans. Hobi just like cracking up, flinging his body all around the whole time.
Getting like cracked up by Jin, and Jin like lecturing them or like, you know, giving them shit and going back into like that young role of like just being so silly and so fun and like demanding like respect. Amazing.
The Maknae's all in the middle, Jimin front and center, like somehow facilitating most everything, kind of being like the icebreaker, like mediator between everyone. Taeyong just so nonchalantly lounging in the back, like not saying a whole lot, and then also like making comments that like not even the members are fully understanding what he's trying to get across.
What are you talking about? What's new? You know, like speaking his Tay-Tay language. Yeah. Yes. Jungkook was also like very quiet and only chimed in like when he was serious about stuff too. Just kind of like Yoongi, you know, Jungkook, little introvert baby who really lights up when he's on stage, but off stage, you know, he can be, especially in a group setting, a little bit more reserved. It was just very cute. Also, I just have to say, I mean, obviously all of them looked incredible, but Jimin was killing me. Like the glossy face and just like the outfit, and it looks like he maybe has put on a little bit of muscle in the military, and he just looks so, I was like, he was front and center and I was just eating it up. I was like, nom, 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 like Jimin. My god.
He
and
did
also
look really good.
Like you said, he was like really facilitating between everybody, and I thought that was so cute. Like, he did such a good job.
He really did. So they talked a little bit more about like kind of what they've been doing, what they've been up to, and Jin talked a little bit about his concert at this point, and he said that he practiced for 2 months to learn how to play the piano for his concert, and that this was definitely like the most nerve-wracking part of his concert, which doesn't really surprise us just because Jin doesn't play the piano. So it's really admirable that he learned how to play and that he spent 2 months just like practicing these two songs that he played for his concert. And it honestly makes me feel for him even more when the concert that we watched, when he went up there and the piano had been switched into a different mode, and he said that his head just went blank. He had no idea what was going on. He like just completely froze. Poor baby, but
poor baby.
The man, one of the sound manager people came out and helped him. But for him to already be so nervous to play the piano and then for that to happen to him, I'm like, oh, that sucks, you know? But he handled it so well.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Like, the fact that, he, you know, he had to do that and his professionalism maintained throughout it. Also, I remember, you know, in that episode when we talked about that concert, we were like, when did he learn to play the piano? When did you do this? And so very neat to find out that like it was just like 2 months before his concert and his tour popped off that he's been practicing and dedicating time. And also I love that J-Hope, like, he didn't really tease him about it, but he was like, obviously we share a schedule, so I could see it on your schedule that you like have piano practice. And I was like, bro, you're learning how to play the piano? Like, what? So yeah, I just think that's so admirable. Very cool.
It is. Yeah, very cool. Taeyong, during this entire live, his whole job was to just flex his military muscles in the background and then tease next spring BTS plans. He would just chime in throughout the entire live randomly saying, next spring, next spring, spring. That was his job. And the member, it was very clear because the members would comment about it or like cue him like, oh, this is your cue. And then he would, he would just not very routinely chime in and say, oh, yeah, spring, next spring.
Right. He'd just like honestly say it whenever he wanted to.
Yeah. It was pretty funny hearing him say that. There was some soap interactions, too, because I loved hearing not only about Jin's concert, but then Yoongi was like, oh, we can't forget that J-Hope's concert was amazing. And he was just praising J-Hope's concert.
Yeah.
And they all did, honestly. RM gave J-Hope a little bit of shit for his gloves, saying he looked like a magician or something like that in these gloves. But again, it was all like super playful banter, like them all just like teasing and messing around with each other.
Yeah.
They talked a little bit too about doing a photo shoot that they had already done and that they were feeling like they were getting their spark back and they were feeling pretty confident and having had done this photo shoot and had it had been so long and they felt like, okay, yeah, no, that actually went well. We can do this. Yeah.
And we wondered if those were the like the permission to dance concert album concept photos that came out, if that's what they did. They did look like new photos. They didn't look like ones that were from like
they were post-military.
So that's a quick turnaround on those photos, and they did look really good, and it was so cute to see them all together and just
that's cool for that the permission to dance live album that they're gonna be putting out here soon. That'll be out soon,
I think. That'll be very interesting. I don't think they've ever put out an album of like live performances from a concert. And we always talk about like how their live performances are, you know, like incredible. So it'll be cool to be able to hear that in,
I think there's,
you know,
those remixes, like the Fire remix and all that. Yeah.
Dude, that's going to be insane. Like a medley on a CD officially. That's incredible. Yeah.
I think it'll be cool.
Well, like I said, Jimin is looking extra delectable, and he did say that he gained weight during service, and like he's just like constantly apologizing. He says that it's his like face is looking puffy or whatever. No, he looks incredible. But RM was like laughing and said that Jimin has abs and they look like corn on the cob. Like, that's such a funny analogy to me, and also like I can really see it, you know. Also, we missed when it happened, but we know that at some point Jungkook touches Taeyong's abs and like nods approvingly. It's like, it must be during that conversation too. They're just having their own like silent little Taehyung interaction in the background. But love it so much.
I feel like I'd have to rewatch the entire live and just watch Taehyung in the background, because I'm sure there's so much that happens between those two throughout the live.
Oh yeah, they're into shit for sure.
Yeah.
Can't keep their hands off of each other. One of them made like a reference to RM and then called him leader. They were like, oh, leader RM. And RM was like, oh, my gosh, I haven't heard that in so long. I have not been called that in so long. And then they were kind of cracking up and like clowning on him a little bit. And they called him squad leader to make it more like military-esque. And then they all had a big laugh about that. And that was really cute and lighthearted.
Yeah, I thought it was a perfect transition to help RM feel more comfortable with it, too. Because, of course, he was so used to being called leader. And, yeah, being in this only military world for so long, it just was so fitting and perfect that they're like, oh, let's just call him squad leader then to make it feel, quote, on more comfortable, because you're used to being in the military. And, yeah, he got a good laugh out of that.
Yeah,
it was perfect. I mean, this is just like that really natural banter that BTS has, that they all feel comfortable. They all can make each other laugh like this. Like, no one else in the world, I feel like, can make them laugh the way that they make each other laugh. And
right.
So it's just
they
nice
just have
to
such
see.
A great brotherhood.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into some of the meat and potatoes of this live. This is when RM really started to chime in and share about what we can expect from BTS, what their plans are in terms of album, tour, and such. So he personally confirmed that they would be releasing a album as a full group next spring, 2026, with a world tour to follow it. So they said that they're going to be gathering together to work on music, and it's going to be their primary focus. So going into July and here over the next couple months, that's all they're going to be working on, is music. And so since they were in the military, they just talked about how they weren't allowed to work on anything while they were serving. So, of course, they don't have any material right now. So the work has to start right now, now that they're all out of the military. And I think it's so great that they honestly waited until all of them were out to start working on it instead of having some members start working on stuff or whatever without,
right,
you know, the other members being around. So it just really seems like their sole focus is as a entire group of seven to create this album together. Like, it's just going to be so BTS coded. I love it. I'm so excited. And just that everyone is going to be involved. They really honed in on how everyone will be involved in the creation of the album. And it's not like they haven't been involved before, mm-hmm. but I just think with all of their solo work, they all have such stronger ideas and identities as artists,
right,
that they are going to be able to contribute more, I feel like, to the album as seven. All yeah. of them will be able to.
I'm excited about that and how they're going to all bring that together and, you know, incorporate their new, like, individual styles that they've developed and that they've worked on into BTS's music now and what that's going to sound like. I'm really excited for them to, like, have that primary focus of, like, let's just dive into the music together. And then, you know, just think about that whole album creation process, like this journey that they're going to go on together with, you know, getting into, okay, what's our topic? Like, what's our focus that we want to get into with this album? And then writing the lyrics, what does it sound like? And then thinking about, like, the visuals that they're going to bring with it, the music videos, the style, like, what's the vibe of the era? You know, like, it is, I, like, have chills right now. It is so exciting to me for them to be working on this all hands-on, all so together, and, like, that this is their primary focus and, like, what's driving them right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is doing, like,
that's
this creatively.
All they're going to be focusing on. Yeah. Yeah. Like, they have no other schedules, which is what's also super exciting. Minus Jin's tour, but we'll get into that here in a little bit. But yeah, like, all hands on deck, creative brainstorming together. Like,
yeah.
you getting into the fine details of it, Kayla, is making me so excited. Like, it's not just the music, it's the concepts, it's the themes. What do they want to talk about? What do they want to share with us? What, yeah, what style are they looking for?
What are they going to wear?
Yeah. A lighter concept. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
I know.
Oh,
I really wonder if it's going to be a darker concept or a lighter concept, you know, because, like, we live for their light concepts and we die for their dark concepts. You know, it's like they like rake us over the coals with those ones. Like, we just, you suffer, you know, in the best way. And so we just
love yourself tear. I mean, that's just immediately where I go every time.
I think, I think too about, like, Map of the Soul 7 was not fully dark concept, but, like, Black Swan, like, you know,
Shadow.
Fuck. Yeah. So we'll see. And also just, like, with their all unique individual experiences in the military and how that's affected them and kind of shifted their perspectives, like, how that's going to affect their lyrics or, like, what they feel like talking about right now too, because we know BTS's music and their lyrics have always been heavily impacted by, like, what they're going through and what they feel they have to say. So I'm just interested to learn what they have to say now.
What is it that they want to share with us?
They
want to talk about.
They were all, like, reminiscing and trying to figure out, like, what their last album was before they all went into the military. And they were like, oh, was it Map of the Soul? Was it, for some reason, like, they weren't remembering B, you know? B's a little bit of a lost album there, coming out in 2020 during COVID. But I think, yeah, their last full album was B, but then they settled on Map of the Soul 7 as being, like, the one that stuck out to them because they knew that they were supposed to tour with that one. But, like Bethany said earlier, Taeyong had been saying next spring, like, all V Live before, or all Weverse Live before they even said officially we're going to come out with an album next spring. So he was kind of, like, being the little spoiler boy teaser, you know? So when they were all trying to think about what their last album was, Taeyong said House of Cards. And they all like busted up laughing at him. And they were like, no, no, that was 10 years ago. Like, what even are you talking about? But to me, I'm like, my ears perked up because,
yeah,
first of all, I love House of Cards. Second of all, mm-hmm. what was House of Cards 10 years ago on HYYH? And what have we like been hoping, praying, speculating, like, are they going to do an HYYH3? Are they going to, you know, like, because BTS put in their contract for this 7-year contract that HYYH had to be commemorated in some way. That mm-hmm. was part of it for the 10-year anniversary. And this was the 10-year anniversary this year, and we still have yet to get anything about those albums. And so I felt like, is he doing a teaser? Like, have they already decided that their concept is going to be like a Most Beautiful Moment in Life part 3 here? Right. And is he saying House of Cards because it did come out 10 years ago and it was on that album?
It's so clearly not their last album.
Right.
And Taeyang has already been given this role of teaser, the person who keeps saying spring 2026, like giving us the little bit of foreshadowing of what's to come. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he intentionally said House of Cards as some form of teaser. I'm gonna hold up hope, Kayla, and lean into it, thinking, yeah, that actually meant something. Like, that wasn't just a total wild card from Taeyang.
No, because I think that although Taeyang can be kind of off the wall sometimes, I don't think that that's what he was doing here in this live. You know, he was intentionally trying to spoil and give Easter eggs. And also, I just feel like we are so back because we can, like, theory, like, get into the theories,
yes,
and, like,
all the theories.
Go a little crazy. Like, that was, it was really fun to, like, mm-hmm. think about that and, like, you know, so.
And it's not far off, like you were saying, because of the Most Beautiful Moment in Life and how they talked extensively before going into military about their contract and how it was written into their contract that BTS made a promise to themselves that they would do something to commemorate the 10-year anniversary. And so here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, it has been 6 years since they've made an album. That took a lot for me to digest because it doesn't feel that long. But if you think about it, yeah, like Map of the Soul 7, especially if they're considering that to be their last album. I mean, B came out in 2020 and we're going to be getting an album in 2026. So yeah, it's been 6 years since we've had a BTS album.
Like, it will be 6 years by the time their next album comes out for sure, if we count B as their last one, because that was November 2020. So, you know, spring 2026, but that still sounds insane. And, you know, we've gotten by with their solo work. Like, it's been incredible. It does not feel like it's been that long. Like, I'm hearing that number, I'm like, how have we had a podcast about them for all this time without,
I feel like we've only had the podcast for 6 years, but
I know, what the hell.
the math isn't mathing. I don't understand.
Yeah, I like, where has the time gone? Like, it does not compute to me, so I don't know.
Yeah,
but
same.
That just, it makes it like even more exciting that they're going to be putting out a brand new OT7 album.
Yeah. So they are going to be working on this new album in the United States, and they're going to do an album camp, which is where their sole focus is on the creation process and to handpick who they work with as far as writing and producing. So how cool is it that they're not going to be in Korea? They're going to be traveling in the United States, creating an album all together at once. It just is a album creation process like we haven't seen before. Like, we've heard of them sometimes working on songs while they're on tour and such, but a lot of times they're in their studio in Korea, but they're going to be kind of on the road and in a different country after they've been in the military all this time. So it'll just be, I'm sure, an unforgettable experience for them. Like, they'll never forget it.
Yeah. Like, they're going to be with Jin when he tours, which I think is super neat that he can, like, they're as a group going to go along with him just so they can start the creation process. And then afterwards, it seems like they're going to be, like, who knows where they'll be in the U.S. Maybe they'll be in L.A., like, more closer to Hype America or, you know, whatever. But it's like, I've heard that with album camps artists get to be really choosy on how they work and who they're working with. It's almost like it's 100% like their rules and what they want goes, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be all BTS, we know. And then if they want to bring in any other additional producers or writers, it's going to be like they have kind of like the pick of the litter to do that there, with all of the resources of everyone in the States. So that's really cool to me. BTS commented that the last album that they made in the States was Dark and Wild. And they mentioned it like that it's like going back to their roots to be able to create an album in the US again. So perhaps they'll be experiencing some nostalgia being in the US mm-hmm. and making an album. And like that'll make its way into the lyrics somehow, or kind of the vibe of the album.
Ooh,
too.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah.
Very cool. Like homage to like original classic BTS. Like, yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh. So anyways, that was a large part of this Weaver's life, was them talking about what their plans are in terms of the album and the tour. They talked a little bit about how they practice singing while in the military to keep up their chops. You know, they're like, yeah, where you're going to stay seasoned with our vocals. Jimin talked a lot about that, about how he kept working on singing. This is really their first time creating an album with this kind of process. So Yoongi talked about being a little unsure of how long it'll take, but they are definitely targeting for spring. But as we were watching, I made a comment, Kayla, I'm like, it'll probably be out before spring or something. Like, are they going to release a single because they're going to love it so much or something? Like, I wouldn't be surprised right. if Yoongi just starts off running. Like, he's like pulls up his, you know, producer equipment and just gets going.
Yeah.
And just comes up with something killer.
The feeling that I get, especially after seeing them all in this live together, is that like they know that basically their deadline is spring 2026 to release the album, but they, and I do think also, side note, that is a special time to release it just because that's when the original Most Beautiful Moment in Life albums came out. So like if we're running with that theory, like it matches mm-hmm. up with the timeline to like release it around the same time of year. That's really beautiful right. and symbolic. But I can imagine like their creativity going off the charts and like them making this album like the fastest they've ever made one, just because of like they're at peak synergy. They all have like all of these ideas to bring to the table, things that they want to do. Their energy about it is really heightened because it's been so long and they're so highly motivated that mm-hmm. like I agree with you. I can imagine that they like get it done earlier, or that they end up like releasing a single or something ahead of time just because
yeah.
they're excited and they want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they'll surprise themselves. I could see them maybe being hesitant and worried, just getting back into it, being a little rusty or something, but I think they might be surprised at how quickly they'll take off with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, maybe in the first week or two they could feel that way, you know, but mm-hmm. I think maybe just being back together and like finding their, once they find their rhythm again, I think it's just gonna fly.
Yeah, but yeah. How quickly they found their rhythm in just this live, I think
right.
shows just
the 30 minute live,
their synergy of being able to work with each other. Yeah,
totally. I think like they talked about how they think it'll be really fun to do this album together after so much time apart. Jin and Hobi both commented on how fun working on Festa was, and like how much they would just like get to set and just like look at each other in the face and just crack up because mm-hmm. they just like have so much fun working together, can't take the other one seriously, you know.
Yeah.
And that just creates such a great environment for creating something awesome and amazing. So they're definitely looking forward to that work that's ahead of them. They got back on the topic of like touring a little bit because they are going to do a world tour after the release of this album next spring. And they talked about like the emotion that comes on at the end of their tours. They talked about Yoongi and Hobi both crying at the end of their tours. And like Yoongi was like with the guitar, like just like sobbing. He totally owned it. He
yeah.
was like, there was nothing else I could do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And RM talked about how they'll be crying, all seven of them, during the first song of their reunited tour. He was like singing, you know, some random song, but it was like, you know, they always start with a hype song, and like how it'd be like the hypest song and they'd be like trying to dance and just like sobbing because
crying. Yeah. That would be hilarious. Oh, honestly. My gosh.
That would be hilarious and also just so endearing. And, you know,
yeah,
because it would be monumental. I'm sure it would feel massive for them. I mean, if it's been 6 years, by the time they release this album, 6 years since they've released an album, I mean, then it would have been, 7 years since they toured together.
I think it'd be less than that, just because they toured with Permission to Dance.
Yeah. I guess so. But that was 2022? Really short. Yeah, 2022, yeah. Like three concerts. Yeah. So, yeah, that's true. But still, yeah, long time.
Yeah, 4 years. Well, not all of them, but several of them have toured solo now. And so it's just, yeah, it's going to be a huge moment when they're all back together on stage.
Yeah, I think so too.
How do they not get emotional doing that? Yeah.
Right.
Overall, I just got a really optimistic view of what is going to happen with BTS. Like, I'm feeling really good about it. It really seems as though no time apart has like changed anything here. Like, it just feels like we had talked about them being in the military might be a good thing for them in terms of taking a really long extended overdue break from music in general and touring and their roles and responsibilities being in this group together. And so now seeing them all back together, it really feels like they seem refreshed. They seem eager and excited and happy. And you see this like drive towards their creative process and creating this album together. And just, again, just them all laughing and enjoying each other's company and being together again. It's like how it was just the perfect ARMY dream of like them all together again. And it's exactly what we thought it would be. So I'm really, really happy with how things are looking, I guess, post-military here.
Yeah, me too. It was wonderful to see them all back together with an OT7 Live. Like you said at the beginning of the episode, it was what we were waiting on. We were waiting for Yoongi to be back, and then to just see all of them together in a live was wonderful. And it makes us really excited for what they have ahead of them for the album creation process the rest of this year, and the potential of that new album coming out next spring, and then a world tour. Like, Bethany, this time next year, we're going to be in Chicago or something seeing BTS again. Like,
my gosh.
I mean, isn't that amazing? Like,
it's amazing, but I'm also just like, tickets. It just makes me so nervous.
Oh, we can't be stressed out tickets yet.
Yes.
We'll have to, like, yeah, they need to have like a
once the stress of that is passed, then yes, of course.
They need to have like quiz before like buying an ARMY membership that you have to like pass to be able to get like ticket presale or something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I am on board for that. Like, study up.
It's time to gatekeep.
Yeah.
That's right. Study up. But no, the live was so amazing. And I'm definitely looking forward to more of their lives. Like we said at the beginning of the episode, like Jimin and Jungkook just went live yesterday. So I'm sure more members will be going live here and there just for fun, you know. We'll see like what random lives we get from them as they tour with Jin or as they work on the album, and just excited to get like a little behind the scenes of their process.
We'll see a lot more. See a lot more of them. It'll be cool to see them in the States when they're touring with Jin and what they're doing behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I just have to say, this live, we had talked so much about how like, oh, it's going to crash. It's absolutely going to crash when they come back because everyone's going to be watching. There were 6.3 million people watching that live in real time.
Crazy.
How crazy is that?
That's so cool.
6.3 million people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Weverse, for like having such a good bandwidth to not crash the whole platform from that.
Yeah.
Very cool. And I mean, I'm sure millions more have watched that since then, you know, in the afterplay. Mm-hmm. So Very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah.
It would have been cool if they could fit 7 million. Lots to look forward to for sure. I also have to say, just because I'm such a K-pop Demon Hunters stan, at the very end of the live, like, RM started singing Soda Pop from K-pop Demon Hunters, and then the live cut off. You know, it was, like, barely there, live cut off. And that was the very first, like, acknowledgement of K-pop Demon Hunters that we got from BTS before this past week, where Jimin and Jungkook did their live and J-Hope started posting TikToks with it and stuff like that. But that was really cool to me too.
Yeah, a lot of ARMYs were happy to hear that and see that. Yeah Jungkook was like,
they know.
You've seen it? Yeah.
Anyways, this live was so fun to watch. I was, like, eagerly awaiting to watch it. I just did not have time when I was packing and getting ready to move and emptying my apartment. But it was really fun watching it with you yesterday, Bethany.
Yeah.
And, you know, setting that time aside, because even before they went into the military, it started to get hard to keep up with their lives or all of their different content here. So it kind of felt a little bit refreshing and nostalgic to, like, set time aside to watch it and to see what they're talking about, what they're up to.
Yeah, it was really nice to watch them all. Yeah, absolutely. It makes me really excited and looking forward to everything.
Definitely looking forward to what they have.
We've missed them so much.
Oh god, we've missed them so much. It's been so hard. So it feels so good to see them back together and having a great time. Like, honestly, just seeing them laugh and interact, and, like, that's what we live for. So that was wonderful. Well, we appreciate you, Iconics, being here and listening to this episode. Let us know what you thought about BTS's live. What do you think about their plans to come out with an album next spring? Do you have any theories about what that album's gonna be like? A lighter theme, a darker theme? Do you think it's gonna be HYYH part 3 too? Like, what is the vibe in your mind? Let us know what you think. And of course, you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.
Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance, so you can protect your tandem bike on the go. Thief! Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.